Now, every single one of us will experience temptation. I wonder what you might be tempted to do. We'll think a bit more about that as time goes on this morning. But I was trying to think, what little illustration might we do? And I thought of this illustration, what we might do this morning was I was going to get some chocolates and put one on each chair and see if we could last throughout the service without eating the chocolate. But the downside of that, I had this experience a few years ago where we were giving out prizes as one of our all ages, and we gave a sort of chocolate bar that had nuts in it out to all the young people that were taking part. One of the young people took it and ate it, but had a nut allergy and got unwell at the end of the service, and I thought, we're going to get sued for having brought on this nut allergy. So we're a little bit more careful about how we give out such things to people. You've got a responsibility. If you've got a nut allergy, don't eat things that might kill you, okay? So be a grown-up about that. Be a responsible adult about that, even if you're small, okay? If you've got children with you, be responsible about that. But nonetheless, we have chocolates available. I thought we'd better get a variety because some people like... Who likes chocolate? Who likes Heroes? A few people. So we're going to have these here. Anyone tempted yet? Heroes. So we've got those there. And over here, we have, for the sophisticated amongst us, Cadbury's Roses. There are other brands and other chocolates available. So we'll just put these here. Now, what I'm really hoping will happen is that nobody is going to do what I'm about to suggest, because that way I'll have lots of chocolates available to me to eat for the rest of the week, month, year. So what we're going to do is, these piles of chocolates are here. Can anyone feel their lure saying, come to me and eat as many of them as you possibly can? Anyone feel that? So what we're going to do, this is going to be here throughout the service, and at various points I may do this, I may say, everyone close your eyes, and if you are tempted or feeling a little bit peckish, why don't you come forward and take a chocolate, or maybe more than one chocolate. And everyone will have their eyes closed, and nobody will see that you've done it. That's tempting, isn't it? I won't ask you if you're feeling tempted by that. So what we're going to do right now is we're all going to close our eyes, and I'm going to invite you, if you feel tempted and you would like a chocolate, to come and get one. You need to do it quietly so we don't hear you doing it, and then go back to your place, all right? And I'll tell you when you can open your eyes, all right? Okay, when we think it's done. All right, so everybody close your eyes. Now, I'm just checking. Anyone tempted to come? Okay. Now's your time if you want to come and get a chocolate. Anyone coming? Open your eyes. Not only was an adult giving in, but was showing off that they were giving in. I'm shocked by that. I think we'll give it another shot just in case, because people might have got inspiration. Anyone tempted, feeling that need for a bit of a chocolate bite? Close your eyes, everyone. And if you would like a chocolate, come forward now. All right, we'll stop there. So two people came and gave in. We might try it again later on and see how we go on. Now, we're all tempted to do stuff. Eating is one of them. We might be tempted to do things, other things which are not helpful, like we hear a bit of news from someone who says, don't tell anyone that. And you think, ooh, I must share that as widely as possible. Must go on Facebook right now
and let that news out as fast as possible. Some of us are tempted to do that. Some of us are tempted to tell lies, not to tell the truth. All sorts of things that we'll be tempted by. And it's interesting what we say in that prayer from the gospel that Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Which suggests to us that maybe, just maybe, with God's help, we can overcome temptation. So we're going to think a little bit about that this morning. Let's listen to a reading from the Bible, which reminds us a little bit about Jesus and temptation. So Douglas is going to come and read for us.
Today's reading is from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. And this is about the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point on the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Isn't that amazing that Jesus himself, God, experienced temptation? The Bible tells us that Jesus is like us in every way. He's human, but he's God. He's like us in every way except one. He is without sin. That's what the Bible tells us. So I take great encouragement from that. God knows, Jesus knows, what it is like for us, for human beings, to be tempted to do things which are destructive and unhelpful. So let's take comfort right at the beginning of our time this morning. Let's remember that God wants to help us in the face of the struggles that we might have in life. And let's close our eyes. And if you would like a chocolate, now is the time to come forward and get a chocolate. Anyone? Nobody else is coming. All right, okay, let's go open our eyes again. Change of gear now. I wonder what's on television tonight. Hello, anyone speaking?
Good evening, anyone. What a hard day you've had today.
Oh, you're right. That's true. It's been a really hard day in all sorts of ways.
I know. Poor you. You really deserve a nice evening in to relax. You really need to watch that film you've just seen reviewed in your Radio Times. It's coming up shortly on Channel 5.
I'm only going to watch the news.
But it's so lovely and warm in here, and you are so tired. Just put your feet up and relax. Why not ring for a pizza? A nice pepperoni one. Spoil yourself a bit. You don't need home group tonight. What you really need to do is watch that film.
I don't think I should watch that film. I'm a Christian.
What's the problem? Every other Christian does. And how will a little film hurt you? God doesn't mind you watching. You need to rest. It says so in the Bible.
I don't suppose it would hurt me, really. Just this once, and I am really tired. What am I doing? This is ridiculous. I need to make my tea so that I'm ready for home group. I haven't time for listening to this. Hello, anyone speaking?
That was a very interesting piece of news that Susie told you about herself today. I'm sure the rest of your office would love to hear all about that. Why don't you ring Beryl? If she knows, everyone else in the office will know before you even get to work tomorrow. Go on. You've just time to ring her before you go to home group.
But Susie said it was confidential. She trusted me to keep it to myself.
Come
I don't want to let her down.
Don't give me that. That's the most exciting bit of news you've heard in a long time. Imagine what fun you could have if you passed that on. And anyway, no one likes Susie. She's so stuck up. People will be delighted to hear that she isn't really Little Miss Perfect.
I'm not sure I should break her confidence.
Do you have such a short memory? Didn't she tell everyone last month about how you had run over the boss's cat in your car, even though you had specifically told her that she was to keep the news quiet?
Well, that was embarrassing, and yes, it was pretty mean, and I guess it would serve her right, but it's not right to talk about people behind their
backs. Where did you get that from? There's absolutely no harm with sharing a very interesting piece of news with a few of your closest and best friends. You need to share this. You know you do.
Maybe I do, but I'm not sure I should.
Imagine how popular you would be. Wouldn't that be great after being so unpopular last month?
It would be great.
Exactly. Come on, anyone. It's not like you are murdering someone or kidnapping someone. Just tell Beryl. One little phone call won't hurt anyone. And Beryl at least would love to hear how naughty Susie has been after she supported you so much last month.
Okay, I'll give Beryl a ring. No, wait a minute. I think I...
No!
I see what it
you
says
don't
in the Bible.
Want to be looking at that. Put it away. Quickly, ring Beryl. Now!
Last week at home group, we studied some verses from Ephesians. What did it say again? Ephesians 4:29.
Put it away. Don't be so boring. That stuff isn't relevant for us now in the 21st century.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And that's the truth. Hang on. You were lying when you said it didn't matter
away.
What I said. God seems to think it matters.
I can't bear it.
Hello? Hello? He seems to have hung up. Oh, look at the time. I haven't got time for my tea now. Better get to home group. We all face temptations in life. Jesus himself faced temptations, but he did not give in to them. He was offered the world if he would give up everything that God had called him to do and to be. And the devil is a deceiver. The Bible tells us this, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and live it to the full. See, God always has the best, better for us. And the problem with temptation is when we are tempted, it's one of the ways the devil tries to use us to be distracted and to leave God's path and to follow his. That's the power that there is in temptation. We want stuff, we want things, we want to have experiences, we want to be in control. Jesus didn't give in to the temptations thrown at him in the desert, and he can help us if we cry out to him for help. So when we pray that prayer, so lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we're saying, God, I need your help. I need your help not to eat the whole table of chocolates that lie before me. It's very difficult. I'm tempted to give you another opportunity to come forward, but maybe we'll save them for our refreshments at the end and you can enjoy them. So how does it work? How does all of this work? Well, it's a bit like this. Anyone here like fishing? Anyone go fishing at all? Anyone like to fish? Nobody likes fishing at all. How unusual. But it is like fishing. The devil is like fishing to get hold of us. So sometimes when you fish, you use these things. You could use a maggot or a worm, or you can use these brightly colored things called lures that you attach that attract the fish, because the fish go, oh, there's something that's nice and shiny. I'll have that. And they bite onto it and they get hooked. They get grabbed by it. That's exactly what the devil is trying to do with us. He puts something attractive before us, and before we know it, we're under his control. So the devil is like the fisherman, and we are like the fish. And the bait the devil uses is something that will tempt us to sin, to take us away from God. The bait might look like this. It might look lovely and beautiful and handcrafted, but underneath it's dangerous, and there's a hook in it. Can you imagine getting a hook stuck in you, something that is pulling you and pulling you and pulling you and controlling you? For Jesus, in the reading we heard earlier, one of the baits the devil dangled in front of him was to use his power to turn stones into bread when he was starving, hungry. You could do that, Jesus. In our drama, the bait for the character Anyone was watching something on television when they were tired, or gossiping about a work colleague. And once the devil has us snared, once he has us hooked on the bait, he then wants to take it. In other words, he wants us to give in to temptation. So he puts thoughts in our minds. If you are the Son of God, there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone does it, so why don't you? You deserve it. You deserve it. And these thoughts are lies, because the devil is a liar and a deceiver. We live in a time when there are lots of lies around us. If you use social media, you need to use your mind and you need to pray and say, Lord, what is true here? We watch the news. We have to ask the question, what is true here and what is not true? It used to be that everything that was on the news must be true. But not everything you read in a newspaper is true. Not everything you see is true. We need to ask, what is true? What is truth? So we're surrounded by all these things which are tempting. What do we do? What can we do when temptation is dangled before us? All of us will experience some level of temptation this week. Well, I'm going to suggest 7 things really quickly that we might do in the face of temptation, whatever you're tempted by. 7 things that might be helpful. First thing is this. Remember that our Father God wants to give us something better. Jesus is tempted by the devil to be diverted completely from the Father's plan to save the world, to deliver it from sin and death and destruction. God's plan was better than the one the devil had. The devil's plan was kind of meaningless in one way. What do we do? Remember that God wants to give us something better. God wants to satisfy our deepest needs, and he does that by giving us the greatest relationship we can ever have, relationship with him. One of the greatest needs we have in life is loneliness. We'll think about that in a moment. God wants us to be in relationship with him. Only he can fulfill our deepest longings. The second thing to remember is this. We are all weak. We are all weak. Wonder why I put a banana skin. You know what a banana skin does? I did think about putting a banana skin down and seeing if we could do this thing. But then I thought, again, we'll get sued because somebody will get hurt probably. So what if you put a banana skin on the ground, what happens with it? What might happen to it if you stepped on it? Anybody? You might slip. There's a real danger that we will do that. We can slip on a banana skin easily. And we can all easily forget that Father God has better for us, and so we give in to temptation. It's especially true that we recognize our weakness. It's a bit like anyone. Anyone was tired, so then was vulnerable. So there's a few times when we are most vulnerable to giving in to temptation. First one is this. When we're hungry. When we're hungry, we sometimes will be tempted not to eat just enough to keep us fed, but actually we'll eat too much. So there's a few of us here who could probably finish off this table of chocolates like that. Anyone? A few of us? We would just go, just can't stop. And chocolate in itself isn't bad, but eating too much of it, definitely bad. Jesus was tempted when he was hungry as well. Or how about this? When we're angry. When we're angry, we're tempted to do something. When you get angry, you get really angry with someone, and you shout a lot, and you might be tempted to lash out at someone. You might be tempted to say or do the wrong thing. When someone does something to you, I'm going to get them. Or is that just me? I suspect not. We can trip up, we can slip up when we're angry. Or how about this? When we're lonely, when we're on our own, when we think no one's watching, when we think we can get away with it, when we think I'm lonely, I will treat myself and sometimes go too far. Or how about this? When we're tired. Like anyone, I'm tired. I can't be bothered doing that. Can't be bothered fulfilling that place, that thing that I'm supposed to be doing at church. I'll just ring in and say I'm not up to it today. I can't do it. Or I'm not going to home group. I'm not participating. We'll find all sorts of things that we do because we're feeling tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. In all these situations, there's something we need to do. If we hear that voice speaking to us, we need to halt. See what we did there? Some of you are thinking, yeah, that's really clever. And some of you are thinking, that's too clever by far. But we need to stop. And stop. I've heard the voice. What am I going to do with this? Second thing. Third thing is this. We are weak, but let's remember this. Stop, halt, and pray and ask for help. Lead us not into temptation, we pray, but deliver us from evil. Recognize what's going on and ask the Lord for help. So whether we're really, 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 really old, or whether we're really, 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 really young, or somewhere in between, all of us have access to God in prayer. Every single person here, when you face that temptation, stop and ask the Lord for help. That's the point of this line in the Lord's Prayer, to stop and ask for God's help. From the youngest to the oldest. And we can also do this. Read the Bible. Open up the Bible. Find the Bible and begin to use it. Remember what God has said. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill and destroy. Remember what he's up to, what the devil's trying to do. Remember that Jesus is like us in every way and yet is without sin. And he's delivered us from the power of sin and death. So we read the Bible and we discover that God cares for us, that God gave his son for the sins of the world, for my sins and for everyone's sins, so that we might walk with him in relationship with ever. What great hope that gives us. Read your Bible. 4, 5. How about this? Focus on something else. Don't focus on the thing that is causing you pain or problem. Think about something else. Don't allow evil thoughts to stay in your mind. Turn your eyes back to the Lord and his goodness. Focus in on him. We're so easily distracted. It's like that dog, you know, a dog who sees anything running around. It's a squirrel and chases after it. And we can be like that as human beings. We can get easily distracted, but we need to refocus on God constantly. You see, that's the power of the Lord's Prayer. If you only know one prayer to say, the Lord's Prayer is the one to know how to say. That's why in the olden days, everybody learned how to say the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't happen like that now. It's probably in a lot of schools not even mentioned, certainly not taught. But when I was growing up, we did learn that. So refocus on something else. Sixth thing, share with other believers. Share with other believers what you're going through. God's plan for our growth and our freedom includes being with other Christians. We have a thing in this church called home groups. We mentioned them in that little play that we had. We have home groups, and we encourage everyone to be part of a home group. I would love us to grow our home group so that everybody who was part of the church was in a group and was committed to it. And I know you're busy. We're all busy. We've got loads of things on. We've got lots of things to do. So much entertainment. There's so many streaming services to watch of an evening. That I don't have time to be part of meeting with other Christians, other than that little bit of an hour that we give on a Sunday morning. And yet we need one another. We need one another to keep one another straight, you know, to keep on the straight and narrow. I have a couple of meetings I go to, online meetings, to meet with my fellow clergy around the country, indeed around Europe. And some days it happens in the middle of the day, and I've got loads of other things to do and stuff to prepare and people to see, and it's kind of, it creeps in on me, oh, don't go to that meeting today. You don't really need to go to it. You won't even be missed if you don't go to it. But often when that voice happens and I decide, right, I'm going to go to it, it's often the best thing. It just helps me refocus. It helps me hear God's word. It helps me pray with my brothers and sisters. And I'm not even in the same room as them. We're doing it online. There's something important about that. If we're followers of Jesus, we actually think meeting with one another, what we're doing this morning, is quite important. Not just so that we have a jolly time over coffee and chocolates at the end, which we will have. But actually, because we might help one another, we might share our needs. I'm facing this thing I need help in, or I'm struggling with this thing. Would you pray for me? We want to develop a culture where that is what we are about. We need one another. That's the sixth thing. Look for the escape route is the seventh thing. Escape route. There is always a way out. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you look around the building, you'll see that we have some escape routes. You may not have noticed them before, but we always have these, just in case something goes wrong. Having an escape route is really important. God has made a promise that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. He's promised that. We'll think about that in a moment. I'm going to get us to read something, if we can, in a moment, when we think about this. And he's promised a way of escape for us to take. So when you are tempted, look for God's escape route. When something's coming in and you're thinking, right, I'm going to give in to this, what might God say to get you out of that situation? How might he help you in that? God's word says this. And if you are able to read this, then read it with me as I read it. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Isn't that amazing? God provides a way out for us in the face of temptation. I am amazed by that constantly. If only I was wise enough to listen to what God has said. So what do we do this morning? Let's respond to what we've heard. Maybe God's been speaking in our hearts and in our heads, and we've been struggling with something that has been tempting us. And God says to us, I want to help you with that. I don't want to leave you on your own. One of the things we do in our times together is more often than not, we will have a time of what we call confession, where we're not saying to one another, I've got this wrong, I need forgiveness. What we're doing is we're talking to God and saying, God, I've got this wrong, I need your forgiveness, I need your help and your strength. And so we're going to do that now, and a prayer is going to come up on the screen to help us do that. And so we say these words together. Let's take a moment of silence, and then we're going to say these words by way of response. And so we say, Lord, we confess that we have given in to temptation this week. We have believed the lies that the devil has put into our minds, and we have acted on those lies and sinned against you. Please forgive us our sins and set us free from the hooks we now find ourselves caught on. Strengthen us to say no to temptation and yes to your holy ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, may everyone here know forgiveness and freedom from past temptation and sin. May you strengthen them to walk in your ways, to know your presence, your love, and your care. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to say some words together. We're going to stand together, and we're going to declare God's help. In Ephesians chapter 6, God says there is stuff that we can do to help us live in the world that we live in. Put on the armor of God, he says. And so we're going to do that now as we say these words together. Let's stand if we're able. And this is our response. And so we say, I put on the belt of truth around my waist. Help me listen to and act upon your truth alone and not be deceived by the devil's lies. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thank you that because of the cross, I can be righteous in your sight. Help me resist and refuse to entertain evil suggestions and to live my life in a way that honors you. Guard my heart, Lord. I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Lord, help me walk in your will today and leave footprints of peace wherever I go. I stand behind the shield of faith, trusting in you to protect me, secure in the knowledge of your goodness, love, and power. I place the helmet of salvation on my head. Jesus, you are my salvation. Thank you that all the riches of heaven are mine in Christ. Would you mount a guard over my thoughts? I take up the sword of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, please fill me so that I can stand for you today. Help me hear your voice, bringing a scripture instruction at my moment of need. I ask for your encircling hedge of protection to be around me and my family. In Jesus' name, amen.